pray for us, and then I'll read God's word for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is King. Thank you that you have delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of your beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so please tonight, rule us by your word and spirit. Please may we listen to what you say in your word. Please soften our hearts. And please use the preaching of your word this evening to bear fruit. Teach us how to pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So John chapter 3, reading from verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We pray that the church will be preserved and grow. And we pray for the kingdom to fully come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. So firstly, my first point this evening, in praying your kingdom come, we pray that we, the church, would increasingly submit to our King. With the change from Queen Elizabeth II to King Charles III, I would argue that the way we live our day-to-day lives hasn't changed that much. Maybe you'll disagree with me, but I don't think so. But in the history of Israel, it really mattered who you were under. It really mattered who was the king who was reigning. Imagine for a moment you're living in the 730s BC, and you're under King Ahaz. Well, you're in a country that takes part in idol worship, in child sacrifice. And then let's say you're under his son, King Hezekiah. Well, you're not in a country that does child sacrifice or idol worship anymore. You're instead in a country which keeps the commandments the Lord had given Moses. Well, the Bible teaches that it's not just imaginary people we would look back to in the 730s who are under a king, but that everyone is under a ruler. More specifically, one of two rulers. Paul in Ephesians 2 describes how outside of Jesus, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. But also would say in this, when you are dead in your trespasses and sins, that you are also following the prince of the power of the air. You are following Satan in this. It is a difficult truth for us to face. But if someone does not love Jesus, but instead rejects Jesus, rebels against his rule, wants to have nothing to do with the gospel, this is not morally neutral, the Bible teaches us. But scripture teaches us that this person has been blinded by Satan, is under the rule of Satan. But, like going from the reign of King Ahaz to the reign of King Hezekiah, the wonderful news is whose rule we are under can change. The Christian isn't someone who is trying their very best to be a Christian. We saw that in our passage from John 3. Something has changed objectively in the Christian. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Christian is one who God, in his mercy, transferred from the rule of Satan to the rule of Jesus Christ. Paul continues in Ephesians 2 with these wonderful encouragements. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For Christians, it's like we have the joy that Jesus is our King. It's not Satan. But even though Jesus is our King, I know for myself, and I wonder for you too, it can often not feel that way. We struggle with indwelling sin in a daily battle. Sin can still so often seem to have a grip on us, even though Jesus is our King. And so, as the Heidelberg Catechism helpfully clarifies, when we are praying, your kingdom come, we want God to rule us by his word and spirit in such a way that more and more we Mr. Kevin DeYoung had a quote, and I'd like you to think about it. Do you agree with it? What he said was, there is nothing more important in all the world for the fulfillment of God's plans and the spread of his glory than strong churches. I wonder what you make of that statement. Are healthy gospel churches really what the Lord of heaven and earth has chosen to use to expand his kingdom? For us in the 21st century here in Scotland, here in St. Andrews, the church isn't big and ostentatious. It's just filled with normal people, or maybe as you look at me tonight, you may think it doesn't even quite have normal people. Well, we can trust that God will always use the church to grow his kingdom. In Matthew's Gospel, quoted by the Catechism writers, Jesus says that he will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He will give the apostles and the church the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So when we look at our church, at any faithful church, and we wonder, how will this be the means that God's kingdom grows? Well, we are assured that the church's strength is that Jesus will build his church. And how will Jesus build his church? Well, Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. It's not like travelling in and out of the UK when you go in and out of the reign of King Charles III. The way to enter Jesus' kingdom is repentance and faith. We see that right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus has given the church the keys to the kingdom of heaven, the authority to preach the gospel, by which people can hear Jesus' call and can enter the kingdom through repentance and faith. The church has the most precious thing, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And so, we pray as the Catechism guides thus, the Catechism states, the church isn't just a precious ornament that you keep in a box hidden, but we also pray for the church to grow. God uses the church and the preaching of the gospel to bring people into the kingdom. In Sunday school recently, we've been going through the book of Acts, and we read in Acts 2 of how in the early church, the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. And we see this now, even in 2024. God is still using his church, which has the keys of the kingdom of heaven, to grow his kingdom. I have the most immense gratitude that on my final Sunday here at the Free Church, then in October 2018, the gospel was faithfully preached so that I could reach repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And many more have still come after me. And how does all this shape our prayers? If God's kingdom is not a political kingdom of this world, well, this shapes what we are praying for when we pray, your kingdom come. Although I do pray for godly leaders and godly laws, this is a good thing that we should be praying for, I do not think that when we're praying your kingdom come, that this is a prayer for more cultural Christians. No, I think this is a prayer for more born-again Christians who are in the kingdom of heaven. We saw this in John 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so we pray for gospel growth. We pray for loved ones, for colleagues, for neighbours, for our towns, for our political leaders. For possibly a very long time we might be praying these prayers. And we pray for them to be transferred from Satan's grasp and to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and come into the kingdom under which there is redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We also have another longing when we pray, your kingdom come. Not just for more Christians, more people to come into the kingdom. We also long for the day when all creation will submit to Jesus' kingship without contest. And so, my final point this evening, in praying your kingdom come, we pray for the kingdom to fully come. People often speak of this tension in the Christian life between the now and the not yet. I wonder if you've heard of that, the now and the not yet. And this is true when we're speaking of the kingdom. The kingdom has come. And yet we're praying tonight, your kingdom come. Throughout the Old Testament, there was a promise of an heir of David, a great king, who would be the greatest king. I could list out many verses that speak of this. Zechariah 9 speaks, behold, your king is coming to you, the Son himself will also be subjected to him who puts all things in subjection unto him, that God may be all in all. What does it look like, this picture, everything being subjected to God, for God to be all in all? What picture should we be forming? Well, some would describe Jesus' earthly ministry as a show home of the new creation. In a show home, so I'm told, I've never been to one, you get a picture of what living in that neighborhood is like. And so when Jesus, as we read in the Gospels, brought sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf, when he raised the dead, when he fed the hungry, these weren't just random tricks. But this was a snapshot, like the show home. This was a snapshot of what it will look like for God to subject all things to himself. And so we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. Subject all things to yourself. We all know, don't we, the horribleness of death. We all know the evil that is done in the world, the great evil that is done in the world. And our news headlines this week show us to that clearly. And as we go through many trials in this life, we pray your kingdom come. Praying your kingdom come teaches us not only to pray about the trials themselves, but that in the trials we should also pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. Swallow up death, Jesus. Crush Satan. Judge and stop the murderers and the liars and the evildoers. Not only will God's enemies fully submit, but we, God's people, will also fully submit. As I said earlier in my sermon, battling sin as a Christian is hard. It's daily, often. It's hard. It's discouraging. So with that in mind, how amazing are these words from 1 John 3? Just listen to them. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him. We all have sins that we battle with. And if you're a Christian here tonight, be encouraged that those sins that can often seem to be a part of us, that can often seem to have a grip on us, these sins will be no more for all eternity. We will be transformed to be like Jesus. We will reign with him. We will rejoice in our God eternally. And so, when you struggle with sin and are discouraged by it, let's pray against the sin, but let's also pray, come, Lord Jesus, come, your kingdom come, that day when we will be freed from sinning. These are